Don't mind us, we're playing through. Here's Froggy and Wacker.
Welcome to another edition of the Playing Through podcast. It's Froggy from Elvis Duran of the Morning Show, along with Brian Wacker from Golf Digest. On Twitter, we're at Playthrough Golf. Hit us anytime. You got a question, something you want us to talk about. We'd love to hear from you on there. Brian and I both are on social media, at Froggy Radio and at Brian Wacker 1. What a week of golf we just had.
Good Lord. We needed the extra day to record this podcast because we needed all that to soak in. I mean, between Ricky not just winning in Phoenix, but the total absurdity of what went down in the last couple of hours there. Of course, Dustin Johnson in Saudi Arabia and Sergio in Saudi Arabia and everything that happened there. Of course, we had Johnny Miller saying goodbye and handing off to Paul Azinger. We had Tiger, Jack Nicklaus, and Donald Trump playing golf together over the weekend. And then we had a game. We had a little football game on Sunday in Atlanta.
Yeah.
And I know you're a big Tom Brady supporter.
Well, here's the deal is that I'm a very open Tampa Bay Buccaneers fan. I love the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I know they're not very good right now, but I love the Tampa Bay Bucs. However, I'm not what you call a Patriot hater. And I think that most people are either you love them or you hate them. And I'm not. I'm in the middle.
Yeah, they're certainly polarizing.
Yeah,
very much so.
I am of the thought process, and I don't think I've said this to you yet. I think that I am so damn lucky that I have lived in an era that I have gotten to witness the greatness that I have witnessed in sports, okay? I have seen personally gone to a game and witnessed Tom Brady. I've seen Peyton Manning play. I've witnessed the run. Listen, I'm a huge Gator fan. I know you're a huge Canes fan. I still think I'm lucky to have witnessed what we know as the Alabama Crimson Tide run that they've had. Nick Saban is amazing. To have been able to say that in my lifetime, I've seen Tiger Woods play golf. I've witnessed a lot of great. I've seen Michael Jordan play basketball. I've seen LeBron James. Like, we've seen a lot of greatness in this era. And I know a lot of people talk about Babe Ruth and they talk about other players. They talk about Will Chamberlain. They talk about Jack. These are our guys. And I believe personally, and I know that people can argue, I just believe that Tom Brady, the way he plays the game, I know he's not flashy. I know he doesn't go out and sling it around and throw for 500 yards a game. I think when it comes to just being a football player and being a guy that's great, I believe he's the best that's ever played the game, and I don't think in my lifetime I'm going to see anybody else. And so I'm appreciating this run. I don't want it to end. I hope he wins more Super Bowls just because I want to be able to talk about it when I'm an old man sitting in my chair, pissing in my pants, and got to have somebody clean my ass for me that I can say, hey,
thanks for that image.
I watched Tom Brady go on that run. I remember every single one of them. And so for that, I'm thankful. I'm not a hater. I'm not upset they won. I do agree the Super Bowl was a little lackluster, but I mean, hey, it was defense. It was a defensive game. What do you want? You got fireworks the week before when you got to see Kansas City and New England play. New England can beat you any way they want to beat you. You want to score a lot of points? They'll score a lot of points and beat you that way. You want to have a low-scoring game? They'll beat you that way. It doesn't matter.
I just have a question. Did you root for the evil empire in Star Wars or not?
No, I'm not a Star Wars guy. I'm just not a Star Wars guy. I don't think I think I saw one Star Wars my mom took me when I was a little boy because she wanted me to like it, and I don't think I liked it.
Well, but it sure sounds like it. I'm with you. Brady is certainly, if not the best, one of the best.
How can anybody be better? They don't. I mean, what do you judge by?
Sure.
I mean, in every barometer, he's better. In every barometer. In other words, I know some people, listen, I'll argue that Tiger's the greatest ever, but if you argue barometers of major championships, Jack is better. If you argue second places, Jack is better.
And here's a great stat that my friend and colleague Jason Sobel threw out the other day on Twitter. Brady, of course, 6 rings. Jack Nicklaus, 6 Masters, 6 green jackets. And, of course, Michael Jordan, 6 rings. To me, Jordan is sort of the gold standard because not just of the 6, at least in the modern era, but the fact that he never lost, he actually retires in between, comes back and wins 3 more.
Right.
Probably would have won even more if they could have kept the band together. But to me, that's the gold standard, but certainly you can't, as bad as that game was on Sunday, you can't dispute the greatness of Brady. And you can't dispute, in my opinion, that the golf was actually more exciting than the football. And that's because... Unfortunately, a little bit because of one of the most bizarre situations I've ever seen. I started to feel for Ricky Fowler at this point. You don't root in this business, but the way that was unfolding, of course, by this point we're all familiar. Ricky gets the 11th hole with a 5-shot lead.
Right. Birdie 10. So, right. So you're thinking, it's over. It's a walk from
here. You're thinking it's over. 5-shot lead. Then proceeds to chip into the water. His ball not checking up on the wet green, rolling all the way across and into the water. Then he places it on the bank, walks up to the green to have a look at the pin and where he wants to hit it. And the ball all by itself rolls into the hazard. And now it's a penalty because it rolled into the hazard, which to me, again, rules of golf strikes because, look, the fact that it rolled into hazard.
And he didn't touch it. And right, it was never
didn't,
in.
I mean, didn't I, touch I, it. I didn't cause it to move.
Technically in play.
Now, look, he certainly could have marked where he was going to place it first, walked up to the green, and then done it, and then placed it right before he was ready to hit the shot. Either way, it's absurd to me that had the same thing happened on the putting green, for example, his ball rolling without him causing it to move, there is no penalty.
No, he would have gotten to replace it. Yeah.
But simply because it rolls into a hazard just doesn't make a lot of sense.
No, I agree. I agree 100%.
So he goes in the span of 30 minutes leading by 5 to now leading by 1 and, of course, then being tied and then losing the lead, trailing by one.
Yeah, but going down.
As I wrote for Golf Digest on Sunday night, you know, this was a lot had been made about Ricky's failures when holding a 54-hole lead.
And he had struggled at Phoenix with leads and had
struggled
gotten
the
up
last
there.
2 years in Phoenix in that case. So this, look, time will tell if this really, you know, this could be a catalyst to something better for him, of course, his 5th win on tour, and maybe it'll lead to a whole lot more. My point is, as I wrote for Golf Digest, is that a lot of players hit their stride in their 30s, didn't hit their stride until their 30s. Look, certainly guys like Phil Mickelson and Justin Rose had success in their 20s, and Ricky's had some success, not as much as people would think or expect.
But he's had some success.
He's had some success.
He won Quail Hollow.
Sure, he's won.
He's won the
Players. So he's had
He's got some good wins.
But it's a long career.
It is a long career. But he hasn't been around that long.
Right.
4 wins is not bad. It's like this almost feels like, and yeah, I'm about to use the word, so we're going to be about a little over 7 minutes into the podcast. Here we go.
I did my best, everyone. I did my best.
I still look at it as the Tiger effect. We all sit around and want everybody to win at the clip that he won.
No, you're right.
It's not going to happen. 4 victories for Ricky Fowler is not bad.
Well,
yes, I realize there's been some not closing.
Certainly should be better.
Okay, but hold on. He 1 year finished 2nd in every major championship.
No, well, in the top 5.
Top 5 in every major championship. Okay, that's a great year. I know he didn't win, but that's a great year. It's like because the guy hasn't won 12 times yet and he doesn't hold 3 majors, we're going, hey, it's a disappointment. I'm sure Ricky would like to win more too, but he's had a pretty damn good run.
He has, and he's always been a glass full guy in terms of life off the golf course. And
I want to say something else
picture
too.
And so forth, but
the way he handled himself on Sunday,
oh, absolutely,
is amazing.
Look,
there aren't many guys that would be able to deal with what he dealt with. You think about the cobwebs and the scars and the demons that are there from the previous failures after 54-hole lead. You think about what's been in there from previous failures on that golf course.
Yep,
and knowing that 16 had been a problem to him, and he gets through, 17 had been a problem to him.
Right.
And then you get there, and now you feel like, what the hell can I do? Like, now I've placed the ball, it's rolled in the water, I'm being penalized, I've lost the lead. You never saw him utter a word of disgust. You never saw him curse. You never saw him throw a club. He had a smile on his face the whole time. He just kept it together. And that says a lot about who Ricky Fowler is, a whole lot.
And to me, 2 things stood out. One, fortunately for Ricky, he had more holes to play. Look, there was still a long way to go after what happened on 11. And let's be honest, the guys behind him on the leaderboard, you know, particularly players in his group, Matt Kuchar and Justin Thomas, weren't putting any heat on him.
Correct.
They were not.
But Brendan Grace was from another group until he also faltered late too.
Now, Brendan Grace, of course, as you mentioned, playing in the group in front of Ricky, makes a great charge, comes from 8 back at the start of the day. But then, as you say, falters late. And to Ricky's credit, again, as you pointed out, you look at not just sort of mentally how he handled it, but his golf, right? He birdies the par 5 15th.
Right.
Also, another birdie on 17.
Almost chips in at 16. Then gets to 17, that drivable green. Does he lay up and play safe? No. Takes the driver out of the bag and drives it on the green. And that says a lot about where he was.
And made some really clutch par saves and par putts. Look, he had a six-footer on 13. He got up and down from that sort of awkward stance on 16, as you mentioned.
Yep.
And then 18. One more on 18. Hits it into the rough where you thought, oh, boy, here we go.
That was a solid shot out of there, though.
Gets a little bit of a break from the standpoint of the ball wasn't buried in there. So good news there, but plays it smart, gets out, gets up and down, makes his par, and that's the end of the golf tournament. So to me, showed tremendous composure, and you wonder if this will now open up, I don't want to say the floodgates, because I don't think you're going to see anybody win 6, 7, 8 times a year. But,
no.
But will this open up the floodgates or the chances for him to win a major championship? Will he maybe feel a little less pressure to finally break through at a major championship? Again, this is a guy, you know, look, we can look at the world rankings, right? Justin Rose, number one player in the world, didn't win a major until his 30s. Dustin Johnson, up there as well, did not win a major until his 30s. Phil Mickelson, of course, did not win a major until his 30s. And, of course, Sergio Garcia, a couple of years ago, didn't win a major until nearly 40. So,
right.
And we'll get to Sergio in a minute. Speaking of composure or lack thereof.
Right. And that's really kind of where my Ricky rant was going.
Sure.
Is that there are multiple ways. And listen, we all get frustrated on the golf course. But to see the way Ricky handled himself is just sheer class. And because of that, I'll pull for Ricky a little harder and want to see better things happen for Ricky. And I think they will, because he does put the bad stuff behind him and he moves on and continues to play. And when he doesn't play well, I'll be honest with you, because I've been rough on Ricky before and said that there's something going on. He doesn't close on a 54-hole lead. But what I will say is Ricky owns it. When it goes south, he says, I didn't get it done. He doesn't blame anybody else. He doesn't blame the golf course. He doesn't say the golf gods are against him. Ricky says, I just didn't get it done.
You know what, though?
He got it done on Sunday.
Part of me was, speaking of Sunday, part of me was really wishing we had Johnny Miller for one more round on Sunday. Look, Paul, I thought Paul Azinger, he did a great job. He'll continue to do a great job. He's sort of a softer, kinder version of Johnny, if you will. I think he'll be very good. He's got a terrific mind. But I really was wishing we had Johnny for that. And not just Ricky, but everybody. A lot of guys were struggling down the stretch on Sunday, and to hear how Johnny would have called that. But anyhow, that segues, of course, to Sergio. Of course, Saudi Arabia.
First, let's congratulate Dustin Johnson. That was a great victory. Sure. And he put a low round together and charged to the leaderboard and then stayed up there. Birdied his final two holes, I believe, to win the Saudi Arabia championship. I know that neither one of us were thrilled.
They shouldn't have been there.
They were playing there.
They shouldn't have been there.
And we made that very clear last week. If you want to hear our opinions on that, you can listen to last week's podcast.
But it's not just us. Plenty of players felt that way.
Oh, for sure.
There.
Absolutely. Sure. But congratulations to Dustin. He did get it done. I know Justin Rose missed the cut. It was kind of shocking to see. He had missed the cut, I think, 47 events since like 2011 on the European Tour.
Yeah.
However, unfortunately, the story out of Saudi Arabia that everybody's talking about is the way Sergio conducted himself. And you know what? This seems to be a pattern that happens a lot with Sergio. My son showed me a video, actually.
He's got a history.
Of Sergio with a lot of throwing clubs and getting upset and just, you know, and listen, there's, I know a lot of guys get upset. I get it. But it seems to happen a lot more with Sergio. And there seems to be an excuse always where we don't always own it. I know he is somewhat owned what happened in Saudi Arabia, but the video that there are no, I find it weird. There's no video of him destroying the greens, but they say that it did happen and he admitted that it happened. So I don't think there's any disputing that.
And other players confirmed that greens were marked up, you know, 4 or 5 greens, it sounds like were damaged.
Right. But the video that we saw out of the bunker is enough to tell me that that something's going on there.
That was some art right there, man.
I look at it like a signature. You know, some like he did it a couple times.
Some baseball managers would have been really, They would have loved that.
And then when he went to walk away, he drugged the club like once, and that was like his signature on it. Like, just take this. And then he was cursing. Now,
yeah, it was like his signature on a painting, right? Like,
I don't speak Spanish, do you?
Un poco.
So what's that, a little?
Yeah.
Okay, so I don't exactly know what he was saying, but I asked one of the girls that I work with here at the radio station, and she said that it didn't really make any sense. He's just like screaming off curse words. All right, there's the drag. So here's what I'm getting from it. I know what mierda is.
Sure.
And there's something about, he said los caddies.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he said, I don't think he liked the way the bunker was rigged prior to when he got in it. Because he said something about another caddy being mierda. So I think his issue.
Let's just pummel the bunker worse. Let's do that. Yeah,
right. So he gave his caddy more work.
Right.
So he could fix it for the next guy who's got to come along.
Yeah.
But there's just, this is happening way too often with him when things don't go his way.
Well, look, at this point, you know, we all heard about the transformation of Sergio when he won the Masters 2 years ago, and this sort of maturity. And look, I know his wife, Angela. I've gotten to know her through the years, and she's been a big influence on him and a very positive one. And there's a lot of positive about Sergio. Charming, engaging, does a lot of things for kids and charity.
Yeah.
Lots of positive.
I'm not taking away from that.
But that doesn't, you know, that doesn't dismiss the antics that just seem to continue to happen with him. You know, you just hope that this is the last of it. You hope that he realizes, you know, look, I was out of line. And look, he apologized. But really, I feel like the European Tour should have suspended him.
I believe so, 100%. Now, I can't believe they did it.
Some people were calling for, you know, multiple months or the season. I think that's a little much.
But definitely a couple tournaments.
I would say, yeah, maybe a tournament or two. Certainly a fine.
It's got to be fixed. There's no way he can come over here. I mean, I'm guessing he'll play the players, so he's going to be here soon.
And look,
you can't act that way over here.
If his name's not Sergio Garcia, I think
the person is suspended.
Yeah, I have a hard time thinking there's not some sanctions that are incurred. So, it's unfortunate and really just, you heard Brooks Koepka. You'll hear him in our podcast talk about, he gives his very open, direct opinion of what he thought about it.
Yeah, we're definitely going to, we're going to talk to Brooks later on in the week.
Yeah.
And you're going to hear Brooks's opinion on it.
Yeah.
And I think that Brooks's opinion is probably one that many players share.
Yeah.
But I don't want that to overshadow Dustin's victory real quick. I wanted to share something that was sent to me as well. So Dustin changed drivers. He started with the M6, if you remember, early in the season. He made another driver switch. And so it says there's something about a new driver that brings out the best in Dustin Johnson. For the second straight year, he actually changed drivers. He went from the M5 to the more unforgiving M6, got his ball speed up to 185 miles per hour, had an hour-long session with different shafts and different heads, swapped to the M6, and won. So Dustin Johnson.
Another big week for TaylorMade.
Yeah, another big week for TaylorMade. And also, Ricky Fowler.
Yeah, playing a new TaylorMade ball.
Playing a new TaylorMade ball. So a very good week for our friends at TaylorMade.
The program. They've done, they continue to do amazing work with their equipment. It's some of the best in the game. And look, a lot of companies make great equipment, but TaylorMade is certainly off to a great start in 2019.
It's so weird to turn on the TaylorMade website and you see Ricky Fowler standing there in orange front and center.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? But he is. He's playing the TaylorMade ball.
And another TaylorMade player, of course, was in the headlines over the weekend, and that was your favorite player.
Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods played golf with our President Donald Trump and Jack Nicklaus on Saturday. Completely unexpected. I had no idea. I am friends with some people who are friends with Tiger, and I am also friends with the Trump family. And so I had no idea. And all of a sudden, I was doing some traveling with my wife. I looked at my phone. I got a picture, and it was the picture of Jack, Tiger, and Mr. Trump, President Trump. And somebody said, how would you like to be the fourth in that group? And I got to be honest with you. If I was the fourth in that group, I don't think I'd hit a ball. I don't even think I'd play. I'd be like, can you guys look the other way while I hit, please? Because I'd be so nervous, I'd probably miss every single ball. But Mr. Trump said that Tiger played very well.
I would just make sure I was keeping my own scorecard.
That's oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah. But President Trump tweeted that Tiger played well, that Jack can still putt like a fiend. He still putts, you know, you've seen Jack at the Masters. When we see him hit the ceremonial first tee shot, and then we see him play the par three,
sure,
Jack still putts very well. He played in that father-son challenge earlier this year, was putting lights out, so he can still putt. But it was good to see Tiger and them playing golf.
You know what I loved about it, too, is the photo. So there's, of course, the president dressed as you'd expect with the giant USA hat.
Right.
And then there's Jack looking like a guy who's turned up on the weekend to play a casual round at the local club.
Right.
And there's Tiger looking like he's ready for a photo shoot.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Tiger looked like he was ready for a PGA Tour round.
Right. He had, of course, you know, the pants. He had the Nike pants, Nike shirt, everything Nike, of course, and ready to go. But, so that was in the news over the weekend. It was a busy weekend.
Yeah, it really was a busy weekend. So the waste management in the books. Congratulations to Ricky Fowler. Dustin Johnson with a victory. Congratulations to TaylorMade. They got a ball victory. Well, two ball victories with Dustin and Ricky. And then the golf clubs, they're the sponsor with Dustin Johnson. And then now this week we move on to the AT&T Pro-Am.
Pebble Beach
Pro-Am, which I guess they had some inclement weather there, which destroyed some structures.
Yeah, they had some damage over the weekend. Some pretty nasty storms rolled through.
Now, is there a major there this year too?
Might be.
So hold on. So is this the first time
that they will play
a regular tour event and a major in the same year?
No. It happens every time that Pebble Beach hosts, of course, the U.S. Open, which has happened several times now, of course. 2010, I believe, was the last time.
So do you see the guys that play at this time with an advantage over?
No. None. No, because we have our good friends at the USGA come in and set up the golf course.
Right.
So
they make it really hard.
Right. Now, look, that said, I'll give our readers what's called a little tease here. I'm working on a story that you'll see in Golf Digest in an upcoming issue for our U.S. Open preview. And Pebble Beach is the topic. And there are very few venues that are hard to screw up, if you will.
Right.
And Pebble Beach
is one of them.
Right. Because consistently, that golf course, the design of it, the small greens, the grass, the type of grass, the Poana grass, the layout of the golf course really lends itself well to not just a major championship, but of course the U.S. Open. And I think we're going to see a fantastic. So to answer your question, no, there's really no correlation between playing the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am this week and this coming week and how the course will play during the U.S. Open. That said,
well, the reason I ask is
a guy like Dustin Johnson has of course won Pebble Beach, has won the regular tournament, and played well there in 2010. Actually, had the lead going into the last round. So. Right. There's some correlation maybe, but again, we're talking about a guy who's one of the top players in the world.
He's already playing well anyways. Well, because I remember when it was at Congressional, they had a major at Congressional.
Right.
They moved Tiger's tournament away from there.
Correct, for 2 years.
To get it ready. So that's why I found it a little strange.
Yeah. It really depends on the venue. You don't see it often, but with a place like Pebble Beach that's so iconic and has been there for so long and really can handle both infrastructurally and the golf course itself, can handle hosting a tour event and then playing a U.S. Open, a major championship there months later. So, that one's always a fun one to watch because it's Pebble Beach. The scenery is unbelievable.
Right. You get some of the celebrities.
Sure. You get some celebrities.
Yeah. So it'll be fun to watch. And then,
who's your favorite celebrity to watch, by the way?
It's funny. You see different guys.
One?
Well, you see different guys play different tournaments. So,
sure.
Guys that are good, the baseball players usually seem to be pretty good.
Yeah.
Golfers. So when you see like
hockey, another sport that translates well.
Yeah. So those guys actually end up playing well. So I enjoy watching those guys. I don't really like when Bill Murray gets up there. I'm like, really, dude? I mean, I think I could probably beat Bill Murray. I mean, he's just not good. And listen, neither am I.
Come on, he's pretty good. But you're right. I'm the shtick of it all. Is,
right. I just get over that. I just.
Tom Brady, by the way, pretty good. I actually saw him play there a few years ago.
Is he really?
Yeah, pretty good.
So we're this week at Pebble Beach, and then next week Tiger's back. We're at the Genesis, where we will get to see Tiger again, and then we're Mexico, and then we'll be in the Florida Swing. So
there we go.
Really starting to heat up. I mean, it really, we're the season's getting ready to take off like a rocket. So I mean, it's nice. I enjoy watching them play Pebble Beach. And then the Genesis is great because you're going to get Tiger in a fairly good field there as well. And then Mexico's a WGC event. Still haven't decided if Tiger's going to play that yet. Hasn't committed yet, which, as you know, we probably won't get a committal on that until the week of the Genesis, because I think you have to commit before the Friday before the event.
Correct.
Yeah, so probably won't get a commit or a non-commit there, and whether he's going to play that or decide to play the Honda. But lots going on in golf, so much to talk about. Thanks for tuning in to another Playing Through podcast. Once again, later this week, we are talking to PGA, the defending champion of the PGA Championship, three-time major championship winner, Brooks Koepka, has been in New York doing some press for the PGA Championship. So we will talk to Brooks. Brian, not able to be on that. He's got an assignment for Golf Digest that he'll be on. So thanks for tuning in to another Playing Through podcast. Once again, hit us anytime on social at Playthrough Golf on Twitter or at Froggy Radio and at Brian Wacker 1.
I think you've had enough.
Playing Through.
No? Now you've had enough.
With Froggy and Wacker.
Bitch.